All right, everyone, welcome back to the Crypto Rundown, where we talk about everything that's going on in the great world of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. From the fundamentals in the news to the technicals on the charts, we spend the time doing hours of research so that you all don't have to, and we bring it to you in under an hour completely for free. And welcome back. It is August 25th, 2025. There's a lot to unpack here in this bright Monday episode, and it's been a really volatile past week. Now, if you remember in the prior week, we are coming off of a little bit of a dump. The markets were coming off the highs, we explained why, and we bled for the majority of the week until Friday. When Friday came around, we had Jerome Powell, the Federal Reserve, and all of them talking in Jackson Hole for their big annual meeting. The markets immediately pumped afterwards. However, what we're seeing again is another early week dump. So in this week's episode, we're not only going to talk about the Jackson Hole meeting, the recent pump and dump action, what's happening behind the scenes, who's selling, but we also want to talk about who's buying. And conveniently enough, the pros here, all the positives, farly outweigh all the different cons that we have. So there's a lot of different fundamental catalysts that we need to talk about. There's huge new buy orders coming in from the ETFs, from the treasury companies, and also we're seeing new ETF applications come out as well as a whole bunch of other catalysts. So lots to talk about here today. We want to make sure that all of you stay tuned for the entire episode because there is going to be important information discussed the entire way through. Now, of course, I can't do this without my good old buddy and co-host, Mr. TiVo. So we're going to have an exciting episode.
Yeah, a lot to talk about as always. This is definitely one that's going to push the boundaries of the time limits, maybe under an hour, but it's exciting times. But I definitely wanted to kick off this episode and just apologize for last week, especially to our Crypt Nation family. I know we sent out the link and then we just had some technical difficulties with YouTube. It happens sometimes, and the link ended up breaking because we had some, some problems with YouTube. So sorry about that. We tried to fix it. We couldn't. We sent out the audio link instead, but we're back. We're up rolling. Ethereum all-time highs yesterday on Sunday. Obviously, Jerome Powell with a very dovish Friday at Jackson Hole, which credit to us, we teed everybody up on Thursday, right? We said this is some type of clearing event. Again, we didn't have a crystal ball. We can't tell you, is it going up? Is it going down? But it's an important event on the world stage to pay attention to. And that's where we're going to kick off this episode, because sure enough, that was an absolute market moving event. Like we told everybody who needed to stay tuned and stay apprised to that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, man. You know, there's a lot going on here. And the big, the big event over the weekend was people getting whiplash from the crypto move. One second, we are at Jackson Hole. Everything sounds good. We're pumping into new highs. Then the next second, you blink, and everything's down over 5%. Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana, you know, mainstream alts are down even more than that. And it was a bit of a whiplash effect where people were like, what just happened? Like, what could have sent us down from this euphoric all-time high move to crashing? And we have some answers for you, and it's probably not what you think. But before we get into that, let's talk about Jackson Hole and what happened there, because that was a really big move, not only for crypto, but for TradFi. Like, everything responded with overwhelming positivity. And as you see it on the screen right here, quick reminder, if you're coming in from anywhere that's not YouTube, you need to go over to our YouTube channel to see all the different charts and images and graphics and everything else that we're going to be referencing. But TiVo's got a great image on the screen right now of a dovish Jerome Powell. For a long time, man, we've been hoping for this. We've been trying to get the dovish J Powell. And he finally came out, wings flapping and everything, on this Jackson Hole meeting. And he started to give us a bit of a change in policy stance. And initially what he was saying in this, and we're going to explain why this is a good thing for crypto and why it relates to crypto. But what he came out is, and he basically said, is like, there might be more risks and we need to pay more attention to the labor markets and jobs as opposed to inflation. And we think that the risks over there and the importance of that is now outweighing the risks and importance of inflation with where it's currently at. They also came a long way with their inflation targets, as they've said, getting it down from almost 10% at COVID to now, you know, around 3%. And the thought here is that, again, there needs to be more of an emphasis on the labor and job market. So, Brendan, why in the world does that matter, and how does it relate to crypto? Well, he followed this up by essentially confirming that he's becoming more dovish. The Fed is going to be pivoting towards focusing more on the labor markets. And what that means is that he's going to be more dovish and more willing to cut rates moving forward, because that is now the goal of the Fed, right? He always says, oh, we have a dual mandate, and that is to perfectly balance the labor markets or the job market with the inflation market. And the way to combat both of those is in different ways, right? One by rising or by hiking rates, one by decreasing rates. And so by favoring and focusing a little bit more on the job markets, what that means is he is now in this more dovish tone, more willing to cut rates. And historically, the crypto market, as we've said this countless times before, the crypto market favors a rate-cutting environment. It historically performs extremely well during a rate-cutting environment. So the crypto market was overjoyed to hear this. Everything started pumping. Ethereum went to new all-time highs over the weekend. Solana started breaking out. Altcoins started breaking out. You know, we talked about Aerodrome over here before. Like, everything just left and right was shooting up to the moon, and we were getting breakouts everywhere. However, around the time of Sunday, things started to change. But I guess before we move on there, Tivo, I want to loop you in. It was a crazy move.
No, it was. I wouldn't call it necessarily historic, but again, we teed you up on Thursday. We told you this is probably going to be some type of clearing event to the downside or the upside, and that's exactly what happened. It's definitely it's a tone change, which again the market reacted to. Just kind of the summary of what you said, and I think kind of going forward, you know, it's always the stock market and just all this stuff has kind of turned into just a reality show, right? Like, you got to tune in each week. What's new? What's going to be the new data point? What's going to be the new Fed talking points? And again, that's kind of what we do here. We kind of have fun breaking all that down and following it. But I think this kind of gives you, and again, you got to see the macro. There's always a black swan that can come out of nowhere. But I feel like this kind of gives you the next 3 to 4 weeks of kind of, you know, a little bit of a Fed put, if you will, to the downside, and unless there's some wild economic data that comes out that would counter what Fed Powell said at Jackson Hole, then, you know, it's looking like at least one rate cut, if not two, going into the end of the year. And then again, seasonality in August and September for all markets is usually a little bit weaker, but we've already pushed through that, at least in the crypto markets. August wise is like, you know, it's been an interesting August, not traditionally as much down as it usually is. And so when September comes around, I think that you're going to be kind of hinging on these data points, but to get that transition from Powell's speech is pretty important. And just for the listeners here, especially the YouTube watchers specifically, I kind of compiled on our Twitter here, on our X, the best of the memes. So you got like dovish Jerome Powell, you got no time for puts, 007 Jerome Powell, we got the Ibiza final boss Jerome Powell, Michael Saylor appearance, Saylor alert, he had a good weekend as well, and then that was my favorite one, obviously, is the Sydney Sweeney Jackson Powell. So just, it's been a fun weekend kind of taking all that in, and the markets definitely loved it on Friday. But the most interesting thing is, again, as soon as you think it's a green light, right, and everybody's going to pile in, and then all the degens are going to go, you know, 10x Ethereum long, 100x long, you know, there's going to be speed bumps along the way. So I know you're going to bring up the charts here, show us that, and then that's going to lead us into a discussion of, you know, some things to the downside that happened over the weekend as well. So we got to dive into it in the crypto rundown. That's what we do, and we're painting the whole picture for you. Have you ever wanted to trade Bitcoin but haven't dared tried? With Plus 500 Futures, you can trade crypto without the hassle of opening a wallet. With just a few clicks, you can register and start practicing with their free and unlimited demo. See a trading opportunity? You'll be able to trade in just 2 clicks. Feel ready? You can move to real money with as little as $100 once your account is approved. And the great thing is that in addition to crypto, Plus 500 gives you access to a wide range of instruments like the S&P 500, NASDAQ, gas, and much more. Explore equity indices like energy, metals, forex, and beyond. With a simple and intuitive platform, you can trade anytime, anywhere. Experience the fast, accessible futures trading you've been waiting for with Plus 500. With over 20 years of experience, Plus 500 is your gateway to the markets. Visit us.plus500.com to learn more. Trading in futures involves risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone. Not all applicants will qualify, and this is not personal financial advice. Plus 500, it's trading with a plus.
I'm no tech genius, but I knew if I wanted my business to crush it, I needed a website now. Thankfully, Bluehost made it easy. I customized, optimized, and monetized everything exactly how I wanted with AI. In minutes, my site was up. I couldn't believe it. The search engine tools even helped me get more site visitors. Whatever your passion project is, you can set it up with Bluehost. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, what do you got to lose? Head to Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com to start now.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, exactly, man. And like, here, let's throw this up on the screen so that everyone can see this a little bit more clearly. Like, the move was a little bit crazy. It's just been choppy here, especially on Bitcoin as it continues to lose dominance. But, you know, we had this kind of bleed down. Then here's that rally that we were talking about off the Friday lows. From bottom to top, it was over 5%. And then immediately on Saturday and Sunday, we started seeing the selling come back into the market, right? So Saturday, Sunday, Monday, we've started seeing bleeding come back in. And you can see this a whole lot more clearly on altcoins, right? Because Bitcoin dominance has been dropping. This is the new trend. It's finally pivoted off of this multi-year uptrend that it has been on, which is really, really good for alts. But with Ethereum over here, what we're having is this pivot become a whole lot more clear, right? We were pumping off of this news, and then all of a sudden, we started selling off over the weekend. We hit the new high. And then from this new high, we immediately sold off almost 9% to the downside. And people are like, who is doing this on a Sunday? Like on a Saturday, Sunday, who is doing this? Why is this happening? Same thing with Solana, breaking out here, like complete breakouts to the highest point that we've seen since almost the start of this year. And then Solana sells off almost 9% to the downside as well. And you saw this with a lot of these other altcoins. Aerodrome was also breaking out. We talked about this one, minus 17%. XRP, not doing really as well lately, but like this saw some selling pressure of almost 7%. And so no matter where you really look across the board, everything was selling off en masse. And one of the big talking points has been BNB, because, you know, when you look at this sell-off, it was almost non-existent, especially yesterday, which is when the big sell-off happened. It was down 0.4%. And so people are like, well, that's a little strange. Now, it has been a hot asset and stuff. But this is where, and I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves because I know we got other things to talk about, but people have been looking at this and looking at the charts and being like, okay, well, it makes sense for Bitcoin to underperform. We're heading into altcoin season. Bitcoin dominance is falling. Altcoin dominance is rising, and we're seeing these breakouts and stuff. The only thing that I think people were a little bit curious about is like, who is doing the selling? And that's what... I mean, do we want to talk about it right now, TiVo?
Yeah, jump into that now. I'm moving it down the sheet, the Ethereum stuff down the sheet. Jump into why did crypto pump and then dump. I'll move the Ethereum stuff to the bottom. We can close out with that.
Yeah, so I mean, it's interesting because people were looking on chain, and this is the beauty of crypto, is that for most modern blockchains, you can look on chain and be like, all right, what's happening? Who's doing this? Where are the funds going to and from? And there really is two possible scenarios, right? And we know that one of them is correct. So the first one is that whales have been dumping Bitcoin, right? That's what we saw over the weekend. Whales came in and were dumping like 24,000 Bitcoin at a time. You saw a couple of these different wallets involved, and you can see it on the screen here just like very, very clearly. And people were selling off just like billions of dollars of Bitcoin through these massive orders onto exchanges. Now, people started searching because on Bitcoin, it's a little bit harder to track this stuff. on Ethereum, it's really, really easy. And so people said, okay, well, like, this is happening. We can see this happening on Bitcoin. But what about on Ethereum and Solana, which are a little bit more trackable through like Etherscan and SolScan and some of these other sources? And so people pulled those up and they said, well, why does it look like Binance is the one doing this? And we have a tweet of this as well. And I saw a bunch of different on-chain analysts talking about this over the weekend. And they were saying, these are Binance's accounts. And you had a few of Coinbase's accounts also sprinkled in here. But if we go and we look at this one, I mean, you can see it. You know, Binance is dumping just like a ton of Bitcoin here. And I had another one that I wanted to show. In fact, I'm going to pull this up real fast for TiVo. I'll just send this over to you.
Yeah, you can pull it up. You have the link?
Yeah. I'll pull it up on my end here. But this is another interesting one. Because what we saw was, put this on the screen for everyone, right here, shows it a little bit more clearly. And Ted was covering this really well over the weekend, but he said, you know, Binance are flushing longs, they're dumping millions of ETH, and it's all verifiable on chain. Now, for people who are tuning in, Binance has kind of been known for this. And it's been like a frustrating thing recently. And people have been like, why is this happening? Why are they doing this? Like, why has this become a normal occurrence? And here you can see Binance Hot Wallet, Binance Hot Wallet, Binance Hot Wallet, some Coinbase Hot Wallets too. Again, they're sprinkled in here, but more Binance, 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 Binance. And they were like the big contributor here when you were looking at these, not only in like quantity, but, you know, also just in like the different sizes and the overall amount of wallets that we're selling. And you look and it looks like, you know, Binance was like the main contributor here. And again, people were saying like, this has to stop. And it doesn't make a whole lot of sense as to why. And so again, no matter how you look at this, I think that there is two different sides that you can take. And you can say, hey, these were just long-term whales that were selling off crypto. And then other on-chain analysts are saying, these aren't just any whales that are in profits, which there probably are some out there doing that. But it looks as if these are Binance's hot wallets just flushing the markets. Now, this is where we started getting into like a little bit of conspiracy territory, right? Because we don't know the reasons behind it.
The tinfoil?
Yeah, we're going to pull out the tinfoil hat here. And the idea here is that, hey, they have leveraged trading. They offer this stuff. What if they come in? We know that the longs were stacked up. Trying to make a break for the highs, especially on ETH and SOL. What if they just came in here, wiped them out, collected the money, and then problem solved, right? They come in, they make a bunch of money off of this stuff, they wipe everyone out. And that, again, is getting into some of the more tinfoil hat stuff. But I think people were just frustrated. The large response that I saw online is that people were really frustrated and, dare I say, like a bit fed up with the frequency or the consistency of this happening. And it feels like every time that we are pushing towards the highs, someone, again, historically, it's kind of been Binance, comes in here and starts selling off crypto en masse. Now, the other conspiracy here is we're going to put back on the tinfoil hat, TiVo. We're going to get back into this. The other one is that people are saying that they don't want Solana to pass BNB, right? BNB has been on this like unusual tear. Mm. Also, when you look at the sell-off, like they were like one of the few cryptos that were not negatively affected. They were down 0.4%. Everything else is down like 5%, 10%. All of a sudden, they're break even on the day. And had that continued, Solana was preparing to break out. It was about to flip BNB in terms of market cap. So people were looking at this and saying, well, that seems a little suspicious too. So I don't know. There's a couple different ideas. Like, is this to prop up BNB? Is this to keep and act as a gatekeeper so that other cryptos like Solana don't pass BNB, which we already have seen that happen in the past? Is this to liquidate people and to make money? Is this just a normal thing that they were planning to do anyway because of internal reasons? Like, we don't know. And we can use our mind and we can use our thoughts to like get an idea as to why this happens. But the big takeaway is that nonetheless, people are just frustrated, right? And so that's what happened over the weekend. And I remember looking at this. I saw a tweet. We were talking about it in our group chats. got a message notification, Ethereum at all-time highs, breaking through 4,900, imminently about to hit 5K. It was great. I went into a store, I grabbed takeout food, I come out of the store, and my buddy texted me and says, why is this happening? And I was like, what is he talking about? Why are we breaking out? No, we just rejected 5% in like the 15 minutes I went to get food. And so anyway, I don't want to rant too much about this, but like people are just frustrated. And yeah, I think it's rightfully so.
No, I totally agree. I mean, the great Twitter account Unusual Whales comes to mind. It's just, hey man, there's always unusual whales out there. And you know, if you want to compare it to TradFi, it's just the saying that somebody always knows, right? You know, something happens, some news breaks about a company, the stock shoots up 30-40%. And then for some reason, you know, 5 days earlier, somebody took out some, you know, 2 week short dated options and turned, you know, $25,000 into $1 million. Right. And you're just like, wow, what did that guy know? What did that person know? And so, you know, in any markets, it's kind of just the sad reality that there's always going to be somebody that knows probably more than you, and you got to be careful. And you got to, you know, that's kind of what we teach, right? We teach the education side of it. You got to be aware. You know, there's a lot of people that just kind of, you know, you see the headline from Powell and you see the price action and maybe you're a little underexposed and you're going to like, oh, I'll just 10x ETH and it's an easy play. And that's just not the case. You know, you're kind of going to get hunted there, just like a stop loss hunt. You know, I know you teach that in your trading course. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's just kind of the reality of the markets. It's something that, again, as longs and just bulls, like, you don't like to see, and kind of not knowing is the hardest part. So it's fun to whip out the tinfoil for sure and kind of go down that rabbit hole. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's the markets, and this is just how it works, right? It's not always fair.
No, it's a great point. I think that's the biggest misconception that people have. Let's just give a life lesson here, TiVo. Life isn't fair, right? Things happen. It's not fair. And you just got to accept that. So, you know, you're right. Things like this happen. Can we be frustrated about them? Do they always have to make sense? No. I always have my buddies calling me up, and even family. Every time there's a big dump, why is this happening? I try to explain it to them. They say, that doesn't make sense. And I said, well, it doesn't always have to make sense. It happens. Mm-hmm. And that's just the way that it goes. So, you know, we pump, we dump. Exactly. Listen, we zoom out here. I think we resolve higher to the upside.
Zoom out. We say it all the time. And that's part of the fun of the Crypto Rundown. That's why we come here and do these, you know, once, twice a week, sometimes three with Brian and Joe. And we just kind of bring you the information. We have a pretty solid number of people in here for a Monday morning. If you haven't yet, guys, please give the video a like. It really helps us keep in the momentum to grow the channel and do this stuff for free. On the bottom right of the screen, you'll see our logo. If you haven't subscribed, please consider it. And then if you're interested in more access to Brendan and the community, check out. We got some links below to kind of join us and be a part of the community. But we got Ryan's like literally one of our number one people, always in the comments. What's up, Ryan? One Vision Transition. What's up, guys? Welcome to the Rundown. But that's going to be, I think that's our, you know, we call it like we see it, right? We bring you the positive news. We bring you the negative news. But again, it's a zoom out. It's a bull market. And it's another day. And so another day means that Michael Saylor is still buying Bitcoin. So yet another announcement from Strategy over the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, dude, they're continuing to accumulate. And that's the good news here is, like, listen, we talked about like the negatives. That's the one negative. Everything else here is positive. And the pros certainly outweigh the cons. And you look at what's happening and, like, yeah, MicroStrategy is accumulating just more and more Bitcoin, and they're not alone. So here they just added another 3,081 Bitcoin for a total of $357 million, bringing their new holdings to 632,457 Bitcoin, which I believe that pushes them over 3% of Bitcoin's total supply. Or is that circulating supply? Either way, you know, they're approaching the 3% marker. And I was reading about that this morning, which is just an astronomical amount of Bitcoin, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars worth of Bitcoin. And we're seeing other groups contribute to this as well. So MicroStrategy just came in with a $357 million buy order for Bitcoin. Metaplanet was right behind them. They came in, picked up another $11.7 million worth of Bitcoin. And, you know, other groups have come in here as well, like BitMine, you know, Tom Lee. And we have these on the screen as you can see it over here. You know, Tom Lee, right behind it. Ethereum seeing buy orders as well. And it looks as if in the current state of the market that Ethereum is like really starting to outshine Bitcoin, right? And for years it has been the opposite. But Ethereum right now is kind of like the leading asset in the market. And it's pushing towards these new all-time highs. It's been long anticipated. But BitMine just picked up another $45 million worth of Ethereum, which means they hold $7 billion worth of Ethereum at BitMine. It is crazy how fast they have scaled, how aggressively they have scaled towards picking up and accumulating more Ethereum. And it doesn't look like it's stopping anytime soon. They've said that they want to get, I think, 5% of Ethereum supply. And if that's the mission, then they have a long ways to go. Like, they have a lot more to accumulate.
They just hit the 1% mark over the last week with these new buys. Yeah, it's pretty wild. I think this wasn't on the sheet, but I was just going to pull up Bryce's old tweet real quick. We have it on the charts. We have the Bryce bottom, we call it. I stand by my statement that the Ethereum revenge arc will be glorious end of April. You can see there, what a call. Bryce is, again, never personal financial advice for anybody. You got to do your own research, and this is just fun and educational. But Bryce is thinking that we're still in the early innings here, and I think that's a important part to what you said is, like, Ethereum has all the hype right now. And you got to go back to when, you know, this tweet was April 27. Everybody was throwing in the towel for Ethereum. You know, we've said on the show my famous story of how I had to text all you guys in the group chat and be like, hey, are we still riding this thing? Like, I'm getting a little... My hands are getting tired. I'm getting a little weak here. I need my family to lean on and support. But that's the fun of having the you know, the community and all that to be a part of, to help you when you're thinking those thoughts. But again, I think it's always going to be in crypto, you know, the good tide lifts all boats. And so, you know, at the time it seemed like Bitcoin and Solana, obviously earlier in the year in January, Solana had its moment in the sun and Ethereum was lagging behind. And now Ethereum's caught up and Solana's lagging a little behind and Bitcoin dominance has fallen off. But it's all narratives. I think those narratives will change. You know, I've said this, I think, the last couple of weeks is I do love all three. I love Bitcoin. I love Solana. I love Ethereum. But I think at some point, maybe the end of this year, the beginning of next, I think at some point, like, maybe Ethereum will slow down and Solana will pick up, right? And, like, we're going to have those conversations of who's the bell of the ball, right? But at the end of the day, it's kind of all the tide will lift all boats. But Ethereum is definitely shining the most, and Tom Lee's a huge part of that, which, again, we've joked about it on the show. We talk about him every episode, but you kind of have to, because, again, it's a huge narrative, especially bringing, you know, TradFi and how he says he kind of explains everything so well in those short snippets on his podcast appearances or media hits or just even his tweets. But this is a fun Ethereum stat here, Brendan. I saw this. The source is from Milk Road. We've had those guys on the podcast before. But Ethereum has become the fastest major asset in history to reach a $500 billion market cap. So Ethereum took 5.8 years. Bitcoin took 12 years. And Apple took 35 years. You can see there the top two. Let's go 1, 2, 3, 4. So top four, Ethereum 1, Bitcoin 4, and the two others were oil companies, which, again, you know, you go back in the day when the big, you know, the 70s, 80s, 90s, that oil, I don't even know what they used to call it, the gold rush. That was like the new gold rush, right? It was you know, going to Texas, and I don't know if anybody's a football fan. I watched the Cowboys. There's like a Cowboys documentary on Netflix. I was just tuning in to get geared up for football season, and it kind of gave a backstory of how Jerry Jones made all his money. He just, like, put his whole family's fortune to buy, like, one oil field, not like a small piece of land that he could only mine, like, one oil thing, and it changed his life. So I think that's interesting that you see the two oil companies up there with the crypto. Is like, you know, first it was the gold rush, then it was the oil rush, then it was, you know, obviously the tech rush. You see all the tech ones up there, and now we're kind of into that next phase. And you know, crypto's up there. Sorry, that was a long rant, but this is where I was going, was like, you see everything there, and it's kind of just these segments of history of these wealth creation events that have happened over time. And obviously, being Crypto 101, we believe that, you know, crypto is that next thing, and then this type of stat shows that. So I didn't know if you had any thoughts on it.
Yeah, no, I would be also kind of curious to see what this chart would look like if it accounted for inflation, or maybe it does.
Ooh, yeah, it's a good point.
A little thought that I had, and it would still probably, I mean, Ethereum still probably wins, but it, I mean, yeah, you have a crypto at the top of it, right? And it just goes to show, like, we've had the internet boom, we've had the tech boom, we've had, you know, oils and commodities, and like crypto's at the top of this list. And it is, like, what this shows is how valuable people perceive these assets, right? And I think that's the big takeaway for me, is that people are perceiving the value to be of equal to or greater than value of, like, all these major companies. So, and we look back, and I think if you would have looked at them in the first 5 years of Google, in the first 5 years of Tesla, in the first 5 years of Amazon, you probably would have been like, I don't know about that. You know, maybe even in the first 10 years of a lot of these. But now you look back at it, you know, decades later, and you're like, oh, okay, you know, it makes sense. And I think that's the way that people are going to look back on crypto a decade from now. And they probably would have been like, oh, it's so obvious, it was so easy at the time. And we're going to look back at it and probably see or say the same thing.
We've got just got to take a divert to the comments section. We got Brian McNutt in the comments, and he's saying Tom Lee. And I was in Denver yesterday. I got to have lunch with our friend Brian McNutt from the Momentum Moneymakers. So shout out Brian. And we were talking during lunch yesterday in person, which is super rare and fun for our team, that we'll be getting Brian and Joe back on this week. So exciting week for content. But Brendan, I put this out yesterday. I was like, dude, just, it's Sunday. For those that want to practice and pray, or any religious, please pray for the shorts, specifically the Ethereum shorts, because they're on deck. We covered it last week. Right. We covered it last week. We showed you the charts, and it was just like, hey, this is the last 2 weeks, really, because everybody was wondering, you know, Ethereum went down to what, 4,100, just below 4,100. And we were kind of saying, hey, like, this is a historic amount of shorts for Ethereum. It's dumping, but we believe in the long-term vision of this, and the momentum's here right now. Like, me and you both, we were just like, I don't know who's shorting Ethereum right now. But good luck, I guess. And we got some comments, I remember, on the shorts. I was posting the shorts, and people were like, well, the shorts are winning, aren't they? As it was dipping down to, you know, 4,100. And I was just like, I don't know, we'll see. And then sure enough, Jerome Powell, the dove, flew overhead of the United States last week. And I would guess some shorts got liquidated. I'm sure maybe some people are doubling down at the 5,000 mark here. But the thoughts on the shorts, Brendan, kind of recapping, we teed it up, and now that, you know, prices come back, kind of pressure to the upside, what are you feeling for these ETH shorts?
Here's the thing. The shorts will have their day in the sun, but it's just that, it's a day. The shorts will have these short little periods where they win. But I think people need to take their wins and run, because I'm telling you, these shorts are going to get liquidated, and we've seen it before. We saw it over the weekend when Ethereum pushed up to 5K. Shorts were getting liquidated in mass, and everyone was saying, you know, just prior to that, oh, the shorts are winning, they're winning so far, blah, blah, blah. Guess what? It took one day to just wipe these things out. And I think all these people who are trying to get short, and they're trying to, I sent out a tweet over the weekend. I said, imagine being bearish, and then the shorts just got liquidated and wiped out. And when I look at shorts, you know, we have a saying over here, is that shorts were meant for a short amount of time. Longs were meant for a long amount of time, right? You can short these things, but you get in, you get your profits, you get out. Congrats, you had your move. And there you go. But shorts are not meant to be in, or shorts are not meant to be held for long periods of time. And I think a lot of times people try to time the top, and they try to hold them for too long, and they get wrecked. And it's going to be one of these days. We're going to get a short notification or a liquidation notification. It's going to be like, billions of dollars were just liquidated in shorts today. And I think it's just a matter of time until we see that. And it still amazes me, TiVo, that after all the things that we talk about all the people buying, all the news and all these everything, people still go. People, and I can't fathom it, people, and I'm a trader, people will go over, look at the market, and say, you know what I think's the right decision? I'm going to start shorting the market. It's in an uptrend, has government adoption, fundamental adoption, TradFi, retail, like everyone wants to buy it. And then people are making these crazy, dare I say, degenerate decisions to say, I'm going to go short this thing on leverage. And again, they just have continued to get wrecked now for the entirety of the year so far, for the most part, at least for the past like several months. And I don't know, at a certain point, you have to think that they're going to learn their lesson.
And it goes both ways. It goes both ways because we talked about it at the beginning of the show was, you know, Jerome Powell comes out, the green candle just absolutely skyrockets to the upside. Then people feel like they're either underexposed or it's just a pure layup for the next, you know, 10, 20%. So then they go 10, 20X long and then they get liquidated because they didn't, you know, plan their trades and trade their plan. They're just like, oh, this is the clear narrative that's going to happen. So I think there's a saying, it's what, bulls make money, bears make money, pigs get slaughtered. So if you're trying to be a greedy pig out there, eventually you're gonna catch an L because you're just being a greedy pig and you're not, you know, you don't have a strategy. So yeah, longs can make money, shorts can make money, but if you're just out there trying to be greedy, and specifically if you're not getting educated and kind of planning your trades and figuring out, you know, why and your thesis behind what you're doing and have an actionable plan, which is what we try to help you here. We try to educate you. Obviously, the community, you know, is a place where we really give you the tools every single day to get that education and plan your trades. But the just the greedy pigs, man. Greedy pigs will always get slaughtered, I feel like.
Yeah. And I'm a trader. That's where my background is. And even I, like at this stage of the market, even on the cryptos I don't like, even on the cryptos that I think are bad, I'm not shorting them. I'm just not at this stage of the market. I just think that, I don't know, it has a time and a place. But pray for the people that are here, because these people who are hoping to hold shorts on the top and see Ethereum just get wiped off the face of the map. Again, there's going to be these short periods of time where that does happen. I'm not saying it can't. I'm not saying it can't make money. But there seems to be this idea of like the perma bears are out there. And I think those are the people who missed the boat or they've gotten wrecked. And now they're just rage trading. So we'll see.
It's one of, I think, stock market and crypto market specifically since the April lows has been like there's a term going out there, you know, the most hated rally, right? It's the most hated rally because you're not involved. Like, oh, you thought the world was ending in April and the financial markets were going to collapse. So you sold, went to cash or went to T-bills. And then it's been an absolute V-shaped recovery since then. And so whether you missed out on the S&P, or I know me and you were kind of talking off air on some TQQ calls of, you know, triple leverage on the NASDAQ, or whether you bought Bitcoin or whether you bought the altcoins. Like, if you missed out on that rally, if you're not kind of re-educating yourself and changing your opinion. And that's why we do this show twice a week, you know, every week, because this stuff is happening so fast that you have to digest the new information. You have to think about your long-term thesis, short-term and mid-term thesis, and then you can change. It's okay to pivot. As long as you're being honest with yourself and explaining why you're doing it, it's okay to pivot. But I feel like a lot of people, especially in the last probably year or two, with all the news and all the, I mean, again, we said it, like sometimes it's political bias. You know, your judgment's been clouded and maybe you've made the wrong decision or the wrong trade, and that's okay. That happens all the time, but you got to educate, you got to reevaluate and figure out which way you want to go. And I feel like this rally's been so hated because a lot of people aren't doing that reevaluation of their thoughts and they're getting left behind and thus creating this perma bear attitude. But again, we're bulls. The bulls have been on parade. I mean, call it what it is. And we're bullish because if you zoom out, right, Brendan, there's all this news every single week that we bring to you guys that kind of makes us bullish in our education process. And all these treasury companies are coming. Obviously, Bitcoin was the first. And then everybody wanted to be, we've kind of already went through this part of the cycle where everybody wanted to be a Bitcoin treasury company. And, you know, all these different companies announced it and started putting on their balance sheet, which is awesome. And then obviously Ethereum now has taken that narrative and you're starting to see the altcoins kind of pop up here or there. And I know this BNB, I mean, maybe Bitmain exec here, the former Bitmain exec to launch a BNB treasury form with YZI Labs is looking to raise $1 billion to go buy BNB. Maybe he's the smartest guy in the room since BNB is not trading down like we talked about earlier. Who knows? But I think this is an interesting, it's something that we're going to cover. Again, you can't go out and buy exposure to every single treasury company, but it's something to consider because, again, it's just liquidity, right? It's taking this money and it's bringing on chain. All these treasury companies are just bringing more and more money on chain, which is just, again, overall exciting for the bullish thesis of everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and these things are popping up. We're seeing more and more of them. Not only, and I guess this will be our next segment here, but we're seeing more treasury companies come up and more ETF applications also coming out. So we have the BNB treasury popping up. I think we've already seen one of these, I believe. So from my understanding, this is the second major one. But then we have Galaxy, Jump, and Multicoin seeking $1 billion to create another Solana treasury. And we've started seeing more and more of these pop up. I know Solana Strategy is a group that we've talked to over here. Should definitely check them out. But now there's also Galaxy, Jump, and Multicoin seeking to create a $1 billion Solana treasury firm. So that's another interesting one. And so again, people are wanting to accumulate these for the long term. You don't see these groups going out there and shorting the masses. No, they're saying we're going to accumulate for the long term. We're going to buy these things up. We're going to hold them. And the goal is to just get more and more and more because they know that with crypto, you know, a lot of these assets are scarce and they're limited. You're not going to have someone come out and print and increase the supply of like Bitcoin by 10%. You're not going to have someone come out and just all of a sudden just print, you know, and hike Ethereum's inflation by 50%. That's not something that you're going to happen over a couple year period in a lot of these cryptos, right? Now, these newer projects, they have pretty high inflation rates. That can happen. Certainly worth looking into. But if we move on to these ETF applications, two big ones came in that stood out to me. I wanted to make sure that all of you were aware of this as well, because Grayscale just filed their S-1 to convert their Avalanche Trust into a spot ETF. So we now have an AVAX spot ETF application out there. The S-1 has been filed, and you know, we'll see what happens with it. I think there's certainly a couple of cryptos that are at the front of the line. Probably XRP and Solana are probably at the front of the line for altcoin ETFs. After those two happen, I think we could see others. But the second one here was pretty interesting. And we've talked about this. We've floated this idea around of a Made in America crypto promotion of some kind. And Canary Capital, who we literally just had on the podcast, came out and they filed for a quote-unquote America-made crypto ETF. And so I was searching around. I was like, what projects could be put inside of this? And it's hard because I didn't have a ton of time to like deep dive into this because it came out like seriously right before we were set to record here. But what I did see is that a couple of different cryptos were mentioned. And I believe the three that were, and I'm trying to pull it up on my end, but I believe it was Uniswap, Chainlink, and Solana were three of the ones that were mentioned in this thing. And so we're going to have to dive a little bit deeper and fact check this. But this whole idea of a Made in America crypto ETF is something that has kind of floated around ever since the early stages of the Trump presidency at the beginning of the year when there was this whole Made in America focus. There's just this idea that like, hey, if there is this whole America first, Made in America focus, wouldn't it make sense to have cryptos kind of be looped into that same thing where maybe they get special treatment, maybe there's an ETF, maybe there is, you know, something positive that happens for those specific cryptos. And it looks like this is kind of one of the signs pointing towards that.
Yeah, actually, I was DMing with, we've mentioned him on the program a lot, friend of the program, James Safar. I was DMing with him. We're going to work on, he's on a little summer vacation, but we're going to work on getting him back on the program this fall, which is super exciting. But again, just to kind of, you know, one of those American cryptos is XRP. So they had a good sign from the SEC. They got some feedback, but it went to everybody at the same time, which kind of means they're starting to group everybody together and move them forward through the pipeline. So that's super exciting. And then I guess, you know, sometimes you just got to give a shout out to the XRP army. You got to give a shout out to them. XRP is climbing the rankings here with that market cap, which we always like to kind of bring up for different, companies and cryptos, just kind of compare it to everything else. So shout out to XRP for climbing the rankings there and getting into the top 100. Celebration for all. XRP ETF coming. You know, hey, what are the bears going to say, Brendan? Sometimes you just got to give it up to the XRP army, as there's a lot of, you know, bullish stuff going around. And to your point, we had Canary Capital on that. It was Stephen McClurg, the CEO of Canary Capital. So if you're interested in that, make sure you go back and listen to that episode if you haven't. I know we mentioned Galaxy in the last segment. That interview is coming out this week. So that's exciting, with their head of trading. And yeah, just again, this is what we do. We bring you the news, we bring you the stats, and we bring you literally the top people in the industry. So guys, if you haven't yet, if you're still on YouTube with us, we got a ton of people watching in the chat. If you haven't yet, please just give it a like. It really helps us grow. Give it a like, subscribe. Our logo's on the bottom right of the screen. We do this multiple times a week here if you're new. And we appreciate everybody being here. We got a couple more topics, and then if there's any questions, we could do some questions at the end. So you know, jump in the chat box, put a question. But let's see, where are we going here, Brendan? We got the bull market does not end here. So this was my last thing that I put. I don't think you saw this, so I'm gonna bring this up. I thought this was a really cool stat. So Morgan Stanley, let me pull it up. Embrace debate here, guys. Let's go. Let's pull it up. 82% of those surveyed by Morgan Stanley saying they do not own cryptocurrency, which I think is interesting, because 82% don't own cryptocurrency, but yet we've seen this volatile swing with all this kind of regulation and positive momentum behind the space. And I feel like, if anything, 2025 would be the year where not only is the regulation going, so again, we've talked about this before, how these hedge funds and these huge money managers, a lot of them have a lot of rules. They have rules-based systems on what they can invest in. And so the regulation is now going to clear the runway for a lot of these people to be able to buy and hold crypto. So I think that's going to add to that number. But then again, I think there's just, again, this Morgan Stanley, they could be, you know, interviewing some mom and pops who just have big accounts or trusts, and they decide what to do with their money. And I feel like this was the year where crypto took the main stage in a different way, is I guess what I'm trying to say. We've always been in the news with the volatility and the price action, and oh, is it a scam, or oh, are we getting rich? It's getting crazy, and it's kind of been the news in that weird way. And now I feel like this is the first year where, you know, again, I think you got to be honest. I don't think it's all positive by any means, but I think this was the first year where, at least regulation wise, if you can take off those political framed glasses that some people wear and just look and be like, man, this is a wild year for crypto regulation. And so I think I agree kind of with this, is that 2026 will be a boom year for adoption.
Yeah. And that's the way that it looks, right? All cylinders we're firing on all cylinders. Everything's pointing in the right direction. And again, the vast majority of people still aren't invested. They're not exposed to this. And there is still a lot of room to grow. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't have too much else to say here, Tiva. I think we covered the bulk of it. But I think it's just hard to be bearish still. And that's my big takeaway, is that I think it's hard to be bearish. I think that the big picture is still bullish. There's a lot of great things that are still to come. And we're going to have ups and downs, right? And so we say this multiple times every single episode. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it until it's ingrained in everyone's mind. But when in doubt, zoom out. And I think the big picture still looks clear on the fundamental side, on the technical side, no matter how you look at it and approach it. I'm really not too nervous about it. So we do appreciate everyone coming on here and watching and taking part in these. We love making these episodes. We like to do them every single week, multiple times a week. So if you enjoyed watching, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, turn on those notifications, and come take part in them. You know, leave us a comment, come to the live chat box, because there's a lot of stuff that's going on here. So if there's not any questions.
We got a couple. We can kick this around. We got Chicken Ball 18 said leverage got wiped. Chicken Ball, thanks for joining us. I love that name. Let's see. Freck Dots, interesting name. Asking us to look at the meme coin Zora. So I know that's not something that we've been trading, Brendan. I don't know if you can pull up the chart of it real quick for him, just to show him. I don't think we really have any opinions on that one. I do know about it, interestingly enough, Brendan, because it's a social networking, one of the social networking coins, where just kind of anybody can create a coin. It was actually something that I talked to with Dan from Tasty Trade when he came on. That was actually his pick. So shout out to Dan for hell of a pick. Not something that I know we're kind of looking at, right, Brendan? But specifically, it's an interesting project. I don't know about the coin. Again, the coin takes off. All these coins, lower market caps can fly for sure, as you can see. But the project is really fun and interesting, and something that I was maybe looking into, maybe getting Crypto 101 an account, because it's just kind of like a. I don't want to compare it to Pump.Fun. I think it has kind of a little bit more vision around social media and your type of content. But interesting enough, so look at that explosion. What do you see in there percentage-wise?
It's over 1,200% in the last month and a half. Just exploded to the upside. It has a Coinbase listing. It has a Kraken listing, so it's pretty easily accessible, pretty easy to get your hands on. And what we've seen here is just, again, explosive growth over the weekend. It's been rallying, and I like to see things that are strong relative to the rest of the market. So we saw Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana, XRP, like a lot of those sell off. Minimal sell-off happening here, and it's already recovering. It's green 2% on the day, which is better than XRP, Solana, Bitcoin, and Ethereum. And again, it's just seeing some relative strength. So when things like this run, it's certainly something to keep an eye out on. It's pushing towards a $400 million market cap here. So it's starting to get into that mid-cap territory. You know, it's not in a small micro-cap anymore. And for a pick like this, again, I don't like to particularly get too greedy on these. For anything that's run, I mean, what was this? Almost 1,400% in the last 40 days. It's averaging just a ridiculous return. I don't know. Again, looks good, right? There's relative strength, but
I think the only thing we could say, and I think the only thing we could say is, bulls make money, bears make money, and pigs get slaughtered. I think that's a good one to end on this one. Yeah. So thanks for coming, Freck Dots. I haven't seen you in the comments before. Hope you'll subscribe and come back soon. Brian McNutt says, great show, boys. Ryan Boylan's been so active in the chat. Just an epic episode, guys. We got a regular podcast coming out with Galaxy. We're going to get Brian and Joe on again, and then Brendan and I will be back later in the week. So we'll be it's a full week here. Labor Day weekend's coming up. Obviously, we'll be celebrating that and taking some time off to say goodbye to summer. But the fall's here, and Uptober is coming. Always a favorite at the Crypto 101 podcast, and we're going to make a big push to the end of the year. So super excited. Thanks for every. Oh, Freckdot says thank you. You're welcome, man. Hope to see you soon, back in the live. But Brendan, take us home.
Yeah, no, that's gonna bring us to a close, everyone. We appreciate you coming in here again. We do these crypto rundowns every single week, multiple times a week, typically on Mondays and Thursdays, barring holidays or some sort of conflicting event. But we have all sorts of content. So check out our YouTube tutorials, check out our podcast, check out the different market updates. We got Brian McNutt, who's in the chat. He's another analyst on the team here. He does another show with TiVo towards the back half of the week. So check out theirs. And we hope to see everyone back. So hit the like and subscribe button, and we'll see all of you at the same time, same place on Thursday.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.